This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. In 2018, 87 billion parcels are believed to have been shipped across 13 major markets worldwide, a number that's expected to at least double by 2025. In light of that, the logistics industry is becoming at once more important than ever before and under threat of disruption. So to talk about this with us this morning, we have with us Samir Murray, Regional Director of Southeast Asia and India of Aramex. Thank you very much for joining us on the show, Samir.
Good morning. Thank you for hosting me in this role.
So tell us a little bit about Aramex, first of all, because globally, Aramex has a market cap of about $1.6 billion US dollars. In 2018, it did about $1.3 billion in revenue. But the thing is about the logistics industry is that it's very crowded, and you do see a lot of players, both domestically and internationally. How does Aramex actually distinguish itself from other players in this field?
Thank you for the question. It's a very good question. Look, in such a very difficult environments and the high competition, everyone knows that the e-commerce business is growing in a double digit. So in order to ride that wave of the e-commerce, you see lots of competition coming up. In Malaysia alone, we have more than 180 licensed companies that manages domestic delivery. In Aramex, we try to distinguish ourselves by selling ourselves as the one-stop shop solution. Mm-hmm. Under the Aramex umbrella, we offer the entire complete cycle for any supply chain management solution for the customer from the moment we pick up the shipment, store it, and deliver it to the last mile delivery, whether it's a domestic within Malaysia or it's internationally globally. I'll give you an example. If you go to a shopping mall and you have a list, list of items to buy, and in the first shopping mall you find two items, in the second shopping mall, you bought three items. In the third shopping mall, you find all your items. Which mall you're going to do your shopping the next time?
Right,
so
yes.
So from here, it came to the idea of the one-stop shop solutions. If I am an entrepreneur, in Malaysia, for example, and I want to start selling online, first of all, I need to get my things from China. So I need a freight forwarding company. Mm-hmm. I need to clear them, custom clear them in Malaysia. So I need a brokerage entity. I need warehousing set up in Malaysia. Then I would need two things. When the order comes, it's either a local domestic order from Malaysia, so it's a domestic shipment, or a cross-border across the whole world. It might be a shipment going to the US, Australia, Europe, Africa, etc. So instead of you as a merchant, entrepreneur, you waste your time in dealing with 8 or 10 different entities or service providers under the same Aramex umbrella. You deal with, under one contract, we can do all your total transportation solutions. So from that point came the one-stop-shop solution of Aramex. We've said that the e-commerce is growing, and the more e-commerce coming, the more competition is coming. The more competition is coming, this will add further pricing pressure on our margins, plus tighter yields going forward 2020. So if you notice, the e-commerce is plus and minus. There's pros and cons for the logistic companies. Yes, we're growing, because the e-commerce is growing. At the same time, we're becoming under very severe pressure in terms of margins and yields. So in order for any entity to manage such a resilient business in such a very tough environment, cost optimization and process transformation is becoming vital and important more than any time else.
Perhaps you could just start with maybe what kind of margin compressions do you see across the industry? And because you oversee Southeast Asia and India, so what kind of margin compressions are you seeing here?
The margins, like 4 years back when we started in the e-commerce boom, the margins were reaching maybe 50, 60 or even 70%. Now, as we speak, you know, with a massive number of competition and service industry within the service industry are popping up. The margins are going down to like 10, 15%. Massive margins drop is going. And look, at the same time, we're not only competing with competitors like service industry. We're competing now actually with our customers. You know, customers like Lazada now. Lazada is running their Lazada Express company. Amazon, which is the biggest platform by far globally, is expected to deliver more than FedEx and UPS in 2020 in terms of parcels.
So then what are you planning to do? Because, you know, all of the names that you mentioned, Amazon, Lazada, Alibaba, they are also looking into introducing their own logistics arms, perhaps to have more control over the products that they ship off their platform. So what are you doing in order to survive in the face of this competition that they pose?
As I said, there is the whole concentration now is in cost optimization, how to bring the cost per shipment down.
Mm-hmm.
Cost optimization plus transformation, business transformation. I can give you some examples about what Aramex is doing basically to be able to survive in such atmosphere and
yes.
and deliver based on the board of directors' requirements. So basically, look, when you say process optimization, you have to think about the cost per shipment, how much now it costs you to deliver an e-commerce shipment now compared to a B2B parcel was delivered in the past. That's why we came up we introduced a lot of technology and high-tech solutions, and our management basically are heading towards a lean, fit, high-tech-driven company. If you think about it, sometimes I forget I'm working for a logistic company, actually. I'm working for a high-tech company. Some examples I'll give you. For example, the customer service. You need to have an army of customer service team to be able to answer those thousands and millions of shipments going around as e-commerce. So we come up with solutions that make customer life can easily communicate by himself through, for example, WhatsApp. The customer can communicate through WhatsApp with a totally automated process. He can ask about shipment notifications, shipment arrivals. He can reschedule. Customer can reschedule the delivery time and location for his parcel. Plus, he can pick and choose from multi last mile delivery preferences. So that's WhatsApp. And then we come up with AI chatbot. Where you can, there's a robot actually you can chat with through the Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
You can just type Aramex and you can ask questions about the location, shipments, pricing, etc. So these will ease the pressure on our infrastructure in terms of customer service, follow-ups, etc. And we can utilize these people actually who were doing the same job manually to upgrade their capabilities and becoming maybe salesperson, maybe working at the commercial team to bring in more business for the company. In terms of last mile delivery innovations, look, Asia is well known that everyone works,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's very difficult for us to deliver a parcel at the same time frame, at the required time frame as a B2B shipment. Why? Delivering a B2B shipment, you can come here to your reception and deliver. Delivery is done in less than a minute. Whereas delivering an e-commerce parcel, you have to contact the customer. You have to make sure the customer is located or available at that delivery address. And then you have to wait. You know, people live in condos here.
Yes.
So you go to the security, you wait for 15 minutes. The customer has to come down, pick your parcel, etc. So the cost per delivery for e-commerce is much higher than the cost per delivery when it's a B2B shipment. So
mm-hmm.
B2C is more expensive than the B2B shipment. That's why, for example, we came with something called Aramex Spot. Aramex Spot means when the shipment comes into Malaysia or wherever in the world, the customer will receive a notification that your shipment is on hand. Where do you want it to be delivered? Do you prefer hand delivery to your place? Or actually you want to pick your shipment from the nearest spot? That spot might be a grocery shop, a convenience store, a pharmacy, a business center, etc., which creates convenience for you. Once I'm done with my job, I can go to the nearest mall near my house and I pick my parcel.
So how much is that actually reducing then your cost per delivery?
Far by 50% almost, you can say. Yeah, I mean, we've witnessed that big time in Singapore, because in Singapore, everyone works.
Mm-hmm.
So Singapore was the ideal example to run this Aramex Spot, and we've seen massive savings. Look, the concept here is not to save money. The concept here is to come up with an economic cost per shipment so you can compete with those new innovative people coming into the market. Aramex is becoming an enabler for e-commerce business more mm-hmm. than just a shipping company. You know, here in Southeast Asia, what we've done a lot is lots of regular workshop through our global partnership with the international operators in marketplaces such as the Amazon, the eBay, the Alibaba, the Noon in Dubai, etc. So what we're doing now with those merchants is basically we're trying to recruit merchants out of Asia to take their products from being a local domestic seller
mm-hmm.
and we tell these guys, you know what, I'm going to make you international seller. Your customers are not the 25 million living in Malaysia. There's 7 billion people living outside the world.
I'm also interested just in the wider kind of field of technology and how it relates to logistics, because you've touched on a few different innovations that Aramex is looking into right now to try and better optimize your costs in order to be more competitive. But what about some of the very popular discussion when you talk about technology, delivery technology, is drone deliveries, right? And that's something that we've had some of our local players say that, okay, yes, you know, they're looking into this, you know, potentially identified Malaysia as a destination to test this out. Is this something that is on Aramex's radar at this point?
Look, it's always there on all companies' radar. At the end of the day, it's a competition.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already having these discussions internally in the company, and the digital transformation team is working hard with all stations to start implementing some of those testing trials on the last mile delivery initiatives. On top of that, I mentioned something to you earlier that we have developed as well an app that's similar to the Uber or the Grab app. This is very important. Why? Look, in order to control the cost per shipment for us across the year. Now, you know, the e-commerce business work based on seasonality, right?
Yes.
So, for example, it's very quiet from January until October. And then October suddenly becomes a 10-10, 11-11, 12-12, the Black Friday, the Christmas, the New Year.
The Cyber Mondays,
my cyber sale. So all these events will double and triple the volumes. So if I am delivering, for example, 50,000 packages a day with my current resources, in December, these 50,000 might be 100,000 a day. So what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we managed to build a last mile delivery, which is a crowdsourcing concept similar to the Uber and Grab apps, where you can roll these shipments, the extra volumes through this app to have crowds coming, picking up shipments and delivering to you. So you maintain the service level that you have promised the customer. And at the same time, you don't hire extra, because if you hire extra, you need double the resources and you cannot maintain these resources across the whole year.
And we're going to be getting into some of the challenges perhaps that you might be facing here in Asia in just a little while. I've been speaking with Summer Murray, a regional director of Southeast Asia and India of Aramex. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Samir Murray, a regional director of Southeast Asia and India at Aramex, a global logistics company based mainly in the Middle East. Now, Samir, the Asian region, what are some of the biggest challenges that you see facing the logistics industry here? Because earlier you referenced, you know, that e-commerce, for example, is growing in the double digits. There has been some conversation and analysis saying that actually e-commerce here in Asia is still lagging somewhat, although it is starting to see more of an acceleration. So what is your gauge on the outlook for the logistics industry?
Thank you for the question. Look, it's about, you're managing around 10 different countries in Southeast Asia, and each country has their different rules and regulations, different culture, different way of adopting things and systems, etc. If you ask me about Singapore in specific, I don't see lots of challenges, to be honest. It's well structured in terms of customs. In any country, when you want to operate in logistics, the most important aspect is the relationship with customs. You know, I mean, the majority of our business in and out is going through customs. So as long as you are compliant, very important, compliant with the customs rules and regulations, understanding the culture, understanding the de minimis, the clearance processes, etc., then you are on the right track.
But the example that you give of Singapore is a first world country. It's a developed country. Here in Southeast Asia, you have a very wide range of development, because on the one hand, you have Singapore. On the other hand, you have Cambodia, Laos, and even India under your portfolio.
Correct.
So how do you bridge kind of the relationships across all of these countries?
It's important to mention that it's not only that. Look, it doesn't depend only on the country itself, actually. It's interrelationship between countries. The biggest challenge for me was how to bridge the gap between these countries and help in building trading lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for example, after taking over the Indian subcontinent, I've seen that there is massive transactions taking place between import of India from China, Taiwan, and Hong Kong, and export out of India into the Southeast Asian markets. So it's very important to bridge the gap and create those trading lanes by understanding the country's rules and regulations, the customs requirements, the customer's expectations, and then building that trading lane between two entities. For example, between India and Cambodia. Cambodia wasn't, for us, one of the major markets. And suddenly when I take over India, I find there's a major business going out of India into the Cambodia. So it was the perfect chance to connect and build that trading lane between the two countries.
So what would you say is your best performing segment and conversely your worst performing segment in terms of deliveries here in Asia?
Look, I'm not going to talk about the worst performing segment, but but the best performing segment by default is the e-commerce, to be honest.
Yes.
Look, e-commerce is booming. Everyone is talking about double-digit growth since 3 to 4 years, right? And we're seeing that the internet economy, for example, in Southeast Asia is going to worth around $100 billion in 2019. This is as per the record. So, and we've seen that the internet economy is growing in Malaysia and Southeast Asia at around 20 to 30%. In other countries like Indonesia and Vietnam, it's growing like 40 and 50%, the internet economy, which is anything you can sell over the internet.
I mean, Aramex, though, on a global level, just looking at some of the sectoral breakdowns from your third quarter results, freight forwarding did poorly amongst all of the kind of areas that Aramex looks into. Is that also reflected in Asia in terms of segments?
Look, freight forwarding had been affected with the economy slowdown. I mean, there's an economy slowdown that we felt across the globe, to be honest. Maybe, look, the reason for slowing down the freight is the growth of e-commerce. I'll give you an example. And if you are in Dubai now, for example, and you import in bulk, that's freight, right, in bulk into Dubai. Now, the consumption of those retail is going down. Why? Because I can easily order from China and I can avoid paying tax and duty because it's an individual shipment for me. So the growth of e-commerce by default had affected the freight business negatively. But at the same time, it contributes big time to the growth of our domestic and express operations. You know, 65% of our revenues actually came from e-commerce, express and domestic products in 2019.
Okay. Now going into 2020, I mean, you did mention the slowdown. What's your gauge of the operating environment as we head into this new year with some, I mean, there are still some global trade uncertainties still persisting. How much do you expect Aramex to be affected by that?
Look, we're very optimistic about 2020. Honestly, unlike others, we're very optimistic about 2020. As I told you, we've been working very hard for the last 1 year, getting ready for the 2020 by asset cost optimization and process or organization transformation through injecting all these new ideas of the Aramex spot, the Aramex feed, the digital transformation, the WhatsApp, the communication. So if you noticed, our objective for 2020 is to focus more into commercials. So I'm not going to bother myself focusing on the ground operation, in the last mile, on customer service, etc. We already built that. We've done a great job in taking the company from heavy overheads in terms of operations and customer service into a lean, fit, high tech-driven entity. So with that, I mean, all what you have to do now is to focus commercially. Focusing commercially by either strengthening our stronghold in our core markets, mainly, as you mentioned, the GCC and the Levant, which is the Middle East, expanding our footprints in Asia. I mean, look, I'm here for the last 10 years. When we started, we've been like in Singapore, Malaysia alone. Now we're across the whole.
But I mean, even though, even with all of the things that you've described, kind of the work that Aramex has put in to ensuring that you've got a very streamlined system, I mean, other logistics players, big logistics players like FedEx and DHL are warning of the potential negative impact of a global economic slowdown and the potential drop in trading volumes that could result. So, you know, benchmarking against these other players, why is Aramex still so optimistic?
We're optimistic because, as I told you, for two main reasons. Number one is we're a very light asset company. Look, others are basically operating at very high cost in terms of owning your aircrafts, owning your vehicles, trailers, trucks, warehouses, etc. We're leasing. We're using third party. So, for example, I'll remind you of 2008 when the economic crisis happened. Aramex were the only company in that industry, we were still performing. Why? Because others are operating their own aircraft. So if the aircraft is carrying 20 ton now and you only have 5 ton, then there's 15 ton gap here where it's incurring loss for you. Aramex, we're using commercials. So if I have 5 ton, I'm paying for 5 ton. If I have 1 kilo, I'll pay 1 kilo. If I have 20 ton, I pay 20 ton. So being a light asset company is very important and helped us to maneuver easily, actually, and become able to reach our goal of becoming a lean, fit, tech-driven company.
Okay. As you also cover a number of companies with large rural populations, so Cambodia, for example, even parts of Malaysia are indeed very rural. How is your asset-light model going to help you in those areas? Because will you face trouble then not having the infrastructure to potentially reach people in these rural areas?
Look what happened when Grab or Uber came into the picture. They have disrupted the whole ride-hauling industry. Mm-hmm. So from that concept, as I said, we came up with solutions already. We have already solutions. I can use third party. I can ride on Grab network. I can ride on Uber network and some other markets to reach those locations. So look, you can identify it as we are a global distribution company that offer total logistics solutions for the customers from A to Z under one umbrella. So in terms of reaching these locations, it's either through our own light investments or through using third party.
And you also have done a number of strategic acquisitions, right? I think in Malaysia it was...
In Malaysia it was Avanti Express, actually. We have done an acquisition for Avanti Express in 2012. Mm-hmm. It's a local domestic company. Actually, that's how we come into the market. So the best way is to come to the market is through acquisitions. I mean, you buy a company with well-structured, well-set-up documentations, and et cetera. It's legal. They're connected to the government. They have all the required documents in place. So all what you have to do is to Aramexize it and then plug and play.
But in terms of, say, other acquisitions here in Malaysia, not quite.
At this stage, we're thinking more on the B2B business because we've seen that we have been already ready for the B2C business. We've done the required acquisitions. And on the B2B business, now we're thinking more on freight business, which is the freight forwarding, to grow the freight forwarding business and approach a new base of customers.
What is your strategy, perhaps, to build up the top-line contribution from Asia? Because Aramex's revenue globally, Asia and others, the segment Asia and others, makes up about 24%
Correct.
Of that revenue.
Correct.
The majority of it still comes from the Middle East as well as North America. So is increasing that top-line contribution something that you're looking at this point?
Look, we have a saying called God created earth and sky and everything in between is made in China. So we know that China and Asia are the mother of the whole world. So my job here is basically how to connect those merchants and those sellers and those manufacturing entities and direct them into our core markets, into the MENA, which is the Middle East and North Africa. You've said something very good, which is 25% of the Aramex revenues or top line came from Asia. This is basically due to both the e-commerce business coming from out of China hitting into the Middle East, plus the freight forwarding business that we started to see and building the trading lanes among the region.
So do you anticipate this growing or perhaps holding steady in 2020?
Look, there's going to be even more aggressive on that. I mean, we have plans to be, we're very optimistic, honestly, about, I am personally optimistic about Southeast Asia and the Indian subcontinent growth. There's lots of signs to tell us that in these areas, the e-commerce is going to continue to grow. B2B is the right time now for the B2B business to start selling it and offering different service lines for different customer segments. Mm-hmm. So we're, again, optimistic, we're very aggressive, and we're insisting we're going to do it. We're going to make it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Samir.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Samir Murray, Regional Director of Southeast Asia and India at Aramex. This has been The Breakfast Grill, and I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.